In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So early this week, my family got back from a trip to Texas. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because when they left, I was still isolating after COVID. But as a family, we make that trip frequently, and we've driven it several times. When you have family scattered across multiple states, regular travel is just a part of life. Mm. That means that my children grew up just like I did, spending hours, even days, in the back of the car with very little agency. And that leads to the dreaded question. Are we there yet? And I have to be honest, it's a question that I still ask. As an adult, I try not to ask it out loud, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I ask it when I'm traveling. Sometimes I ask it while I'm looking forward to a meal. Sometimes I ask it while being treated by a doctor or a dentist. And sometimes I ask it silently while sitting in centering prayer, even though it's only 20 minutes. All the time I ask it while striving to grow in my life in the Spirit. Are we there yet? This is the situation we find in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost so many years ago. Jewish people were gathered from all over the world to celebrate the feast and to ask, "Are we there yet?" They were waiting for something. They were waiting for the promised Messiah. They were waiting for a king, someone to sit on a throne and rule, a descendant of David, who would vanquish Israel's enemies. God had made these promises, and they were true believers, asking, "Are we there yet?" Now, I can relate to these believers as I pursue my own life, my own hopes and dreams and expectations. There are Christians in the world who believe that true faith will necessarily result in wealth and health and vocational success. There are some Christians in the world who believe that true faith will result in extraordinary experiences like glossolalia, the speaking in tongues, and in miraculous healings. Now, I absolutely believe that none of these are beyond God's capacity to do. But all I can do is to report to you my own experience that these are not necessary, normative, or inevitable results of faith. So I have various mentors that I look up to. People who walked alongside me during difficult seasons in my life and modeled life in the Spirit. And what I'm struck by in these mentors is the disappointments that they encountered and how their faith stood up even more strongly as a result of their disappointment. Jack was close, but in the end, he wasn't elected bishop. And the Center for Spiritual Growth that he began no longer exists. Edward was chased out of vocational ministry because he refused to play by the rules of white supremacy in the Deep South 60 years ago. And Joanne was hurt deeply by a bitter divorce from an Episcopal priest. And yet, from each of their disappointments and their pains, each of these people, each of these mentors, somehow brought forth a grace and a loving kindness that encouraged me in my dark places in life and pointed me towards what God was doing in my life. In our account of that Pentecost following Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter and the disciples are asking a similarly hard thing of their Jewish brothers and sisters. Because where everyone had expected a throne, they found a cross. Instead of conquest, there was crucifixion. Instead of an eternal kingdom, so far as they could see, there was only death. So they were still waiting. Are we there yet? So Peter sets out to explain this strange phenomenon you hear. These untutored fishermen speaking the languages of Europe and Africa and Arabia and Asia. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. It is, in fact, a sign that we have arrived. The prophet Joel said, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Fulfillment may not look like what you had hoped or expected, says Peter. All your dreams built up and lovingly cherished. In fact, says Peter, it's better than what you had hoped for. Your dreams were too small, your expectations too low. God chose not just the Jews, but all flesh and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. What God has done, what God is doing all around you has already arrived and is just waiting for you to open your eyes and to notice. You're asking, says Peter, are we there yet? And the answer is a resounding yes. During his lifetime, Jesus allowed the people to lash out at him with their small imaginations. And how did he respond to all those betrayers and abandoners? To all those who clamored for his death? They, even they, were now being invited to take part in the fruits of his victory. In the resurrection, Jesus became exactly that victorious king who would reign eternally. But in an even more surprising and more powerful way than anyone had dreamed of. Anyone but God, that is. And so the circle of those who knew Jesus as Lord began with those who had known him best, but it quickly began expanding. In Acts chapter 2, that we read this morning, Peter addresses a Jewish audience from around the world, and many of them believed in Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, Philip brings the gospel to the people of Samaria, a people who were discriminated against because of their racial identity and their different religious practices. And yet, the Holy Spirit fell upon them in power. Later on in Acts chapter 8, Philip is again carried by the Holy Spirit to preach to someone utterly foreign, an African person of non-binary sexual identity. And that person too went on their way rejoicing in God's love and acceptance. And finally, in Acts chapter 10, Peter proclaims the gospel to the Gentiles, of all people. That was when the church had to struggle through its most difficult, most surprising discernment yet. Were Gentiles really included in God's plan? St. Thomas, this is when the circle of God's people was expanded to include you and me. And so today, led by the Holy Spirit, Christ's church continues the challenging work of the apostles even as we celebrate Pride Month. For every person, every group, every identity that has been told you don't belong, or you are not worthy, or you should be ashamed, we respond, Jesus died and rose for you. For those who felt erased or uncared for or ignored, we point to Jesus as their companion on the way. And us too, as followers of Jesus. No matter what else happens, resurrection, God's dream for all flesh, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Resurrection is the point of our story. My mentors, whom I mentioned earlier, were some of those who had opened their eyes. I don't believe that God caused the pains that they experienced, but I did notice how God redeemed those pains and used them to help my friends look up and notice the greater treasures of life in God's kingdom. Each of these persons were faithful, even in their pain, and somehow found the victory of God's love for them. I am inspired by the faith and the spiritual stamina they displayed in order to find that victory. And that is the faith toward which I am striving and yearning and training. That is life in the Spirit. And so I still ask, often enough in my prayers, are we there yet? And the resounding answer of Scripture and the church is, the kingdom of God is here. We don't have to wait any longer. That kingdom which Jesus announced as near had fully arrived in his resurrection. And the apostles were the core of the new community dedicated to living in that new reality. So when we gather as church, right, to hear the teachings of the apostles, we declare and practice learning how to notice, how to perceive, how to celebrate that the kingdom of heaven is here, that God reigns, that Jesus is Lord, that we are living under God's rule. If only we will open our eyes and notice. Are we there yet? Yes. The kingdom of heaven is here. God has accomplished God's purpose. And even when life hurts, God is still at work. If the salvation of God doesn't look like what you expected, maybe that's good news. Your dreams may have been too small. God has something better planned for you. Are we there yet? Yes, absolutely. That is what we celebrate today as we celebrate Pentecost. Amen.
Amen. Amen.